So let's begin this morning with the famous Kasha of the Beis Yosef from the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah. The truth is, he's not the first one to pose the question. It's already been presented. It's been broached by Orly Rishayna, by the Taisa Sarash, the Meiri, on the Sugya of Fanart and Shamos Chafala from Adbeis. There's a miracle of Chanukah. There's a Yontif we celebrate for 8 days, Keneged, corresponding, of course, to the 8 days of the miraculous lights. Frank, the Beis Yosef already propounds the difficulty, as does the Taisa Sarash and the Meiri. What do you mean? Lamaisa, practically speaking, they found enough pure olive oil to last for the duration of one night. The miracle is only 7. We should be celebrating the Yontif of Chanukah should be merely for 7 days, not for 8 days. What shot in the 8 days of Chanukah? Perhaps one could suggest the following. Of course, there are many Sfarim out there, myriad answers. We have several hundred answers that have been broached to resolve this quandary. But let's present something today. Sit back and buckle up for a ride, because we have to talk about the numbers 7 and 8 respectively. So we know the famous Maral, he talks about it in his Derech Chaim commentary, Perkei Avos, Perkei, Mishnah Chaf Aleph, and his Aruch Chodesh, Megillas Esther, and Aleph Yud. Many other places as well. You see the solemnness of Avodah, the end of Perek Aleph, the Vilna Gaon, and Dvar Leyo and Iyo, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis. We know 7 corresponds to Shiva. Shiva is the eating of Sviyah. That's why the Maral explains that Shiva in Hebrew is spelled identically to Sviyah, because Sviyah means completion, satisfaction, V'achalta, V'savata, V'irachta. And 7, of course, represents completion in the mundane, materialistic world, in the Olam HaTeva, the Olam HaFizi. And thus, of course, we know there are 7 days in a week, 7 years in a Shemitah cycle, 7 Shemitah cycles in a Yovel cycle. We encircle the Yericho 7 times. The Kala encircles the Chasson 7 times. You can read Rabbi Yaakov Solomon as a whole chapter in his book, Something to Think About, enumerating 49 number 7s. We wrap the tefillin around the left hand 7 times. There are 7 continents, the 7 skies, the 7 seas. 7 is a dominant theme. In fact, there was already a guy, a famous guy, George A. Miller, if I could take him back to the 1956 edition of the Psychological Review, March 1956, in volume 63, in number 2, pages 81 to 97. We read about the magical number 7. The magical number 7. Everything in the world, in the mundane materialistic world, fits within the confines of the realm of 7. And thus, Malcolm Gladwell's first New York Times bestseller, the year 2000, The Tipping Point, page 176, he brings, cites a reference to this article, as does Temple Grandin, Animals in Translation, so many other books. But Gladwell brings Jonathan Cohen, a professor, a memory researcher from Princeton University, Bell Labs. You know why there are 7 digits and a telephone number? Why 7? Why not 6? Why not 8? Why not 9? Because the researchers wanted to isolate the greatest maximum, the greatest capacity for potential telephone numbers. But if you go a little too high, what's that going to do? That's going to engender many mistakes, and it's going to drive the operators crazy. And Mamela, they figured out that the average human being can retain 7 digits. That's what a human being remembers. And thus they made telephone numbers, excluding the area code, of course, to have 7 digits. So number 7... Facts, Aaron Barachek, Mingo, page 58 of the book, Random Kinds of Factness, right? The average human being sees 7 million colors, 7 million shades of color. 7 notes in the musical, so there are to be an array, 7 colors in the spectrum. Kenneth Higby, page 115 of his 1974 book, Your Memory, the average human being takes 7 seconds to conjure up imagery, to remember things in this world. The average human being takes 7 minutes to fall asleep at night. It's a dominant thing. How many times do you have to shuffle a deck of cards to achieve a state of randomness? 7 times. Let's go to David Lewis, his 1983 bestseller, 2201, Fascinating Facts, page 27. There are 70,000 miles of blood vessels inside the human being. 70% of the world, 70.79, according to Handy Science Answer Book, is water. The symbol of Teva, 70% of the human being is Teva. The average human being, writes David Lewis there on page 27, breathes 7 quarts of air a minute. Everything is within the realm of 7. Shiva, Sviya, David HaMelech, what's the average human life? Let's take a quick look at Tehillim, Kapitel Tzadi, and Posig Yud. Shivim Shona, that's the mission in Elvis Hechaf Aleph Nei. Shivim, you get to what? Seva. Shivim is Seva, that's satisfaction, that's completion, that's Shlemis in the Olam HaTeva. That's what seven's all about, and that's why it's such a recurring dominant thing. Who, in fact, was the king of sevens? David HaMelech, of course, is the king of sevens. David is Gematria 14, which is seven Kofel, which is seven doubled over, is 14. And David starts his kingship in the city of Hebron for how long? You guessed it, 7 years. And he marries whom? He marries the only woman of Tanakh who doesn't even have a name. What type of name is this? Bat Sheva. It's Kilo parents didn't know what the name was. They say, you know, you're a daughter of seven. What does it mean, a daughter of seven? I don't want to insult anyone who has a daughter about Sheva, but what type of name is that? They couldn't figure out a name. It's like Ripley's Believe It or Not, Encyclopedia of the Bazaar, page 72. There was a woman who named her daughter Friday, February 11th. Kilo, it's Abner Castillo. Who's on first all over again? What's your name? I don't want to know the date. Friday, February 11th. What type of name is Bat Sheva? She's the daughter of seven. The Phineas Taiti, it's Poshut. There's only one Shidduch that was destined from Sheshus and Mebrachus. Let's go to Sanhedrin, Perachelek, Kuv Zayin, Amad Beis, and it tells us that the Shidduch between Dovin and Bathsheba was destined from the days of Adam and Rishon. And of course, the famous Zohar tells us, Chelek Aleph, Tzadi Aleph, Amad Beis, that Adam was destined to live for 1,000 years in the aftermath of the sin. Instead, he gives over 70 years. And of course, you only need 70 because David HaMelech himself was going to declare unto him, Tzadi Yud, that all you need for an average lifespan is 70 years. He gives over 70 years to David HaMelech. Adam, in fact, is Aleph Dalad Mem. Dalad Mem is Gematria 44. Aleph is broken up in Eisos, Karega, Yeshora into a two Vavs and a Yud, Gematria Havaya, Gematria 26, 26 and 44. There you have your 70 again. It's already alluded to ever so subtly in the Lashon Adam. That's 70 years. He gives David HaMelech 70 years. And David is marrying the daughter of seven. Why? Because L'chayr, her whole tachlis was to marry David. It was destined from Sheshus Mebrachus. And they would bring Shlemus to this world. She would be Mashlam. That's the whole lineage of Shiva Sviya. She would be Mashlam, her husband David. And together they would produce whom? They would produce Moshe. They would produce Shlomo. Shlomo, of course, Osios HaShalem. Shlomo represents Shlemus, right? It's the Arizal, Shar Gagulim. Perhaps Samazayan, Shlomo himself was a Gilgul reincarnate of Moshe. Thus, Shlomo was Osios LeMoshe. Moshe built the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the Bayit Zmani, and Shlomo Melech would build Mizrashir Chanukas HaBayis LeDavid. It would be ever attributed to his father David, but he Lemaisa would build the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Kavua. He is Shlomo Osios HaSholem. He is Shlomo who is Lemaisha. Moshe is raised by Abasya. Shlomo rationalizes. He too has to marry Abasya. Many correlations and associations between those two illustrious individuals. HaKalponim Shlomo is HaSholem. Shlomo the Medrash tells us in the beginning of the Medrash, Hashem Rabbah had seven names. Shlomo tells us in Mishlei Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vekam. Shlomo, it's only a product. He's the ensuing offspring of David and Bas Sheva. And David, of course, is the seventh guest that visits us by the Yishpiz. And according to the Homachlekes, the Kisvei Ari, the Zohar, according to one Nusach, David is the seventh guest who comes on Sukkot. David is Keneged Shabbos, Shamas Malkasa. He's the Bechinas Malchus. That's David. That's the seventh day. That Shabbos, where would his Misa be discussed? Using of Tzedakah Kohen's Klal, where else? But in Masechah Shabbos, the seventh day of the week, bottom of Daf Laman Amad Aleph, going on to Laman Amad Beis, that's the death of David. And what Yontif did he die in? We go to the Yerushalmi in Beya 2-4, we go to the Yerushalmi in Chagiga 2-3. David, of course, dies on Shavuos. Shavuos, 7 weeks, that's 7 times 7. And writes the Bechor Shur, the Binyan Ariel, and numerous other Mephorshim, based on Rosh Hashanah Yad Aleph Amad Aleph, that Tzedekim are born and they die in the same day. It must be, if he died in Shavuos, Mestama, he was born as well on Shavuos. See, he dies on Shabbos, the seventh day of the week. He is David Melchis Ochavakim, Roshon Chafayim, and Aleph. And Malchus is the Midas Hashvius of the 10 spheres. He's the seventh guest on Sukkot. David is 14, 7 over. And when David writes in Tehillim, Kuf Yates, Kuf Samachalit, how many times a day do you think he's going to praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Sheva Bayom, Hilal Ticha. Of course, he's going to praise him as expected. 7 times a day, that's David, he's the king of seven. So he starts ruling in Hebron for 7 years. He marries Bat Sheva. Her very name alludes to her Iker Tachlis, which is to be Mashlim David HaMelech, to bring him to completion. David and Bat Sheva produce Shlomo Osios HaShalem. David is all about the number seven. That Shabbos, that Shavuos. His name, his essence is all seven. He is completion. He is the one, all done based on the Arizal, the Kutei Torah, Torah, Parshas Hazinu, Odom Rashi Tevis, Odom Dovin Mashiach. He's the Mamut, so the Mavar, the bridge, if that's Makasha, Odom to Mashiach. He brings Odom to Shlemus. Thus, Odom knows he has to give those 70 crucial years to David HaMelech, and David HaMelech will be Mashlem, will bring Odom to completion, will marry Bathsheba, and he'll take us to the days of Mashiach. That's David, that's the king of sevens, that's what he's all about, the number seven. David, of course, was the seventh son of Yishai. And how many wives did he have? He had 18 wives, right? The Chidon, Helam Dover, and Osiyat Zion. Bathsheba was, not coincidentally, the seventh of David HaMelech's 18 wives. So here's David, number seven of Yishai. He marries Bathsheba, the daughter of seven. She herself is the seventh of the 18 wives. They have Shlomo HaShalem. They have Shlemus, that Shiva, that Sviya, that's the whole world of completion. That's Shlemus and the Olam HaTeva. So that's enough of the number seven for now. Buckle up for the continuation of the ride. We have to talk about the number eight. So for the number eight, we go to the Maral and Geburas Hashem. Perek Emem. Maral. Netzach Yisol Perek Lamed Beis. Also Nesiva Solom. It's also discussed by the Klei Yochanan in the beginning of Parsha Shemini. Of course, the only Parsha that's named for a number of Yitzhak, Isaac, Chavar, Tamar, Menachem, and Mishlov. Talks about it by Echad Miyodeyan, as Perish Yad Mitzrayim, and the Gondosh of Pesach, by Shmona Miyodeya. It's discussed by the Mabit in his monumental work, Beis Elokim, and Tfilah, and Perak Aleph. This idea of eight represents Lamay Lamenateva. This is above the world of time, and thus working back within the context of the Maral of Shiva connotes a sense of Sviya. What happens if you eat a little too much? What happens if you go down to a Chef Herschel lunch and you go back for doubles and you go back for triples and you can't contain yourself? If you eat a little too much, you go beyond completion, beyond satiation. What happens? You get shamein, you get shemina, you get a little obese, you go beyond the belt. Shiva Sviya is when you eat to the point of satiation, but if you eat a little too much, you go overboard. Then you go beyond the belt, that's shmon, that's osio shemina. You ate a little too much, you get a little obese, that's going lamalam and atzava. That's Parsha Shemini Lachaira, the only Parsha in the Chamisha Chumshe that's named for a number, because the gist will lay at the crux of the Parsha, the Chetam Nadav Neviyu. They crossed a forbidden threshold, they went to a place that's Lamailan, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where they didn't belong, where no Zar belongs, except for the Kohen Gadol and the Bashash, the Avodah of Yom Kippur. You can't go and nobody can go. That's the Indian of Shemini. That's why the Torah for Shemini, of course, is the Chet of Uzzah. And Uzzah's name, interestingly enough, is changes from Ayin Zayin Aleph to Ayin Zayin Hey. In the aftermath of the Chet, now he has a gematria of what? Nodav V'Avihu. His very father is mentioned three times in the Torah. His father didn't do anything in the story. What's his father's name? Avinodav, Nodav Navihu. That's the Torah, Parsha Shemini, where they went to Lamaylam in Ateva. That's the idea of eight, representing Shemen. Shemen Shmona, the etymology, of course, of Shmona. It's not only related and intertwined with the idea of Shemena, but Shmona comes from Shemen. Shemen is that which is hidden. It's not here in this world. It's hidden inside the Zayas, inside the Aleph. You have to excrete it. You have to draw it out. It's in the Kudas HaPnimius. It represents the Pnim. And thus Shemen is what? Tzaf Agabe Amayim. Why Amayim? The water. The basic staple of our existence, the Dorah. Water occupies 70% of the universe, 70% of the human being. When you mix the oil with the water, the oil, of course, is tzafa gabe mayim. It floats above water. Because shemen represents that which is lamayla min atzava, writes the Maral in their mitzvah. You would use shemen, pure olive oil, shemen zayisach, to be mamashet, to anoint the melech HaMashiach, to anoint David, to anoint Shaul, to anoint the clay shuris, and to sanctify things, to bring things into a higher, loftier realm. You would anoint it with shemen. Shemen, all the clay shuris became elevated to a higher realm. Shochas Hashemen, by being anointed with Shemen, and also you mix oil with water, Shemen is Tzav Agamei Amayim. The idea being that everything in this world of Teva is represented by a six directions, three dimensional plane, thus, Dal Ruchas Olam, north and up and down, six directions. It's the Nekudas HaShviyas, that's the Bechinas HaShabbos, the middle point that unites equidistant from all the other six directions. That represents Shlemus of the Olam HaTeva, but Shmona is Lamalam and HaTeva, and thus, not coincidentally, Shmona is Osios Nishama, because the Bechinas HaNishama is that which is Lamalam and HaTeva, that's the number eight. And of course, it's not at all coincidence that in the world of mathematics, what represents infinity? Infinity, lamay lamin asman. Anyone who knows math knows that it's a figure eight. It's a horizontal figure eight, which interestingly enough is the only digit in the single digits that doesn't have a clearly defined starting point and ending point. The one, the two, v'chulei, up until ten. And that, of course, as the Maral writes in many places, encompasses all the digits. Everything thereafter is merely a compilation a juxtaposition of various preceding numbers. The number 8 has no clearly defined starting and ending point. It's continuous, that's infinity. And 8, of course, is Shemona. That's Lamayla min Ateva. That's Lamayla min Asman. That's what Pachinas HaShemona is all about. That's Shemena. That's when you go beyond satiation. That's Shemona, that's Gevuras. That's Maskir and Gevuras. Geshama Matriyas HaMesim. Shemona is Gevuras, is Gevura. That's Lamayla, that's when Katan Chachesim and Aleph. That's the Indian of David HaMelech back into Tehillim, Kapitel Tzadi, Pasuk Yud. That's already when you live beyond this world. You go beyond this world, you get to the age of 80. That's already Gevuras. Gevuras Geshama, Brochus HaMagimom and Aleph. When do we talk about Gevuras Geshama? Tfilas Geshem. When is Tfilas Geshem? After 7 days of Sukkot. 7 days of Sukkot, when we celebrate the Nisach HaMayim, Bimkom the Nisach HaYayin, we're going to celebrate water for 7 days of Sukkot. And we're going to shake the Dal Aminim, which essentially is 7, because it's a Lulav and Esrog, 3 Adasim, 2 Aravas. It's 7 Alpitainus, Bezim and Aleph. It's 7 species that grow along Vamayim, of course. Rosh Hashanah, Tzasayim and Aleph. What do we get judged on? Sukkot time, Achag, Nidonin Olamayim. It's all about the water. We celebrate the water for 7 days until finally, and only when we finish celebrating it, the Simchas Beishoeva, Machlekes Rashi, the Rambam, Rashi Sheet, of course, Sukkot and Beis, Rashi Holt, Simchas Beishoeva was there to celebrate the Nisach HaMayim. We celebrate it for 7 days. Only then are we ready for Yom HaShemini. Yom HaShemini is Tfilos Geshem. Makes a lot of sense. You want to ask for the Geshem in Lamala, the Gishmei Brocha to descend from the lofty heavens above. That could only come after 7 days of Shlema, 7 days of Sukkot, 7 days of picking up the Olam HaTeva, sanctifying it, allowing it to transcend the world of the mundane and the material. Sukkot. You know, Aleph Am and Aleph Rav Yochanan, Solas Geren HaYekav, Akosim Medaber, take the lowly debris, take the leftover, the refuse of the trees, the wood, the grass, use that to make your sukkah and celebrate water and get judged on water. And only then you're ready for the Gishmei Brocha to come down in Yom HaShemini, which is Sfas Emes Es, corresponds, of course, to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was an Adam that was Lamayla min Ateva. He was part of this world. Avos to Rabbi Nosson, Bechetzio Lamala, he was Bechinas HaMalach, he's above this world. Moshe can allow us to have a Tfilas Geshem. We can ask for the Gishmei Brocha to descend from the heavens above. And that's only on the Yom HaShemini. And thus, we could talk about Geshem and all of Gashmiut Noveya emanating forth from Geshem. No coincidence that Geshem yields the Hebrew gematria, the Hebrew numerical equivalent, 343. And how do we get to 343? Take Shlemus and multiply it emphatically. 3 times, of course, is a Chazakah. 7 Shlemus times 7 is 49. That's why the highest Madrega person can get to in this world, the Olam HaTeva, is 49. Rosh Hashanah, Banu Machaf Aleph HaMabeis, Vatasrei Me'at Melokim. Even Moshe Rabbeinu can only get to Darga 49. That's 7 times 7, 49. But don't stop. They're multiplied by Shlemus once again. 49 times 7 is Gematria 343. What's Gematria of Geshem? You guessed it. Exactly 343. That's Geshem. 343. Shlemus times Shlemus times Shlemus. 7 thrice. That is ultimate Shlemus. That's a Chazok in Shlemus. That's Geshem. That produces all of the Gashmiut. And after celebrating that for 7 days of Sukkot, then and only then can you talk about the Tfilas Geshem, bringing the Gishmei Brocha, the Gishmei El Yonim, bringing it from the heavens on high, bringing it down to this world. So what then is Chanukah all about? Chanukah, the Beis Yosef, the Tosa Rosh, the Meiri, you're right. There was only a miracle for 7 days. Chanukah is the tziruf of the 7 to the 1. It's taking the Olam HaTeva and allowing it to ascend to higher, to loftier plateaus. Chanukah, going back to the Maral and their mitzvah, Chanukah of course has 8 days, because 8's Lamalam and Ateva. The boy comes into a bris milah, and he's an upstanding member of the Jewish people. When on day 8, then he's nichnas lamila l'rachanimo, to show, to highlight that he tak is Lamalam and Ateva. Kapitel Yotesh, chapter 19 in Tehillim, 7 first psukim speak about the Olam Ateva. 8th posuk Lamalam and Ateva begins. It commences Torah Hashem Tamima, because the Torah Be'etzev is Lamayim Manateva, and thus we're going to celebrate the Torah Simchas Torah when? Only on Shemini Atzeres Simchas Torah they combine, because that's the day that's Lamayim Manateva, and the Torah itself is Kula Lamayim Manateva. So that's the idea of the 8 days of Chanukah. It's all about Nisim, Geluyim, it's all about miracles, galore. What an auspicious occasion, going back to the commemoration of the rededication, the Chanukah Sabayis, the Chanukah Samizbeach, the Chanukah Samanoira. It's going to be a miracle for 8 days, because it's all Lamayla Menatzeva. And it was a miracle of the Nes Pach Shemen, because oil itself is Tzafa, Gamei Mayim, oil itself is what? Is Shemen, is Shemini, is Osios Neshama, that is the root of Shemen. Shemen itself represents Lamon Manateva, and thus writes the Maral, who are the heroes, the protagonists of the story? Chash Shmonaim, what's that? Ches times Shmona. Their Shmona doubled over, their Ches times Shmona. And of course, like the Arizal writes in Kisvei Ari, that Chash Shmonai is also Ches Mem Shin, connected to the beginning of Megillas Ante Yoich, that the Yevonim targeted Bedavka, Chodesh Milan Shabbos, that's Ches Mem Shin, Chodesh Mila Shabbos, and their Chashmanoi, their Ches Time Shmoina, their Kulu Lamayna, when it's ever they were Zochet to Meyucha, the Kesiyat, the Shmaya, the Vekrish, the far mightier and stronger opponents. That's the Chashmonaim, that's the 8 days of Hanukkah, the miracle course, Ayyadei Shem. But it's not a miracle for 8 days, it's a miracle for seven. But the answer to the Chayra is that Hanukkah is about recognizing that even the Olam HaTeva, even though 7 days of Teva are be'etzel, l'mayla v'teva, the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, they're miracles happening day in and day out. Every second of our lives is all miracles, l'mayla v'teva. We have to see the Yad Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel, as the divine puppeteer pulling the strings. Every second, every moment, every day of our lives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel is pulling the strings. It's always l'mayla v'teva. There is no nature to Mother Nature. There is no such thing as Teva. Yes, it's hutva in the Bria. It's ingrained into the Bria, but Lamaisa, it's all miracles, it's all Nisim Gluyim every second of the day. Chanukah is recognizing, but we didn't have miracles for 8 days. Then you'll say, aye, it's limited to Chanukah, that was 8 days, that was Shem, and that was Lamal Manateva. But it was only a miracle for 7 days. Hagufa, precisely the Nakuda. It's only a miracle for 7 days, but you know we're going to celebrate for eight. Why? Because the whole Indian of Chanukah is, there was Taka only a miracle for 7 days, but treat it like it was a miracle for eight. Kiddush of celebrating 8 days, eight miraculous days, when Be'etzem Lamaisa, practically speaking, there were only 7 days of miracles, but how go for precisely the point? Chanukah is, take the seven, take the Shlemish and the Olam HaTeva, and celebrate it, treat it, Keilu it's Lamal HaTeva, because even the Teva itself is Be'etzem Lamal HaTeva. One day there was sufficient amount of oil for. One day was not miraculous in nature. Hanukkah is, celebrate the miraculous, celebrate the Olam HaTeva, join the seven to the eight, and recognize that even that which we experience in the Olam HaTeva is Be'etzem, it's Kokula L'mayla M'nateva. It's all above and beyond this world. Everything that takes place, the way we see things, they're not the way they really appear. Rav Yonah Sanayevshitz writes in Yaros Davash and Chelek Aleph and Drush Beis, a drosha for Test Heves, writes the Halig Rav Yonah Sanayevshitz Zatzal, I want to understand a Peladika Gemara in Masechta Sota Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Gemara tells us that Yosef HaTzadik was about to sin ever egregiously with Eishes Potiphar until Rod Demus the Yukon Shalova, he saw the mean, the countenance of his father Yaakov, the saintly face, the Hadrasponim of Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, you know, Yosef, my dear beloved son, if you're going to sin, if you're going to perpetrate this wrongdoing, you should know that your name is going to be erased from the ephod. Your stone, as part and parcel of the choshen the ephod, the urm v'tumim, right part of the choshen the ephod, your name is going to be glaringly absent. Front of Yonah Sanayevshitz, the obvious question. That's all you have to tell a Yosef HaTzadik. Why do you tell Yosef HaTzadik, if you're going to sin now with this Ashes Ish, with this Ashes Potiphar, you're going to lose your Olam Haba. You're going to sully and tarnish your holy, sacred, pristine soul forever. You'll never be the same. You're going to get punished till Achar Me'ev Yisrael. You're going to suffer in this world. Your neshama is going to be forever sullied. Why doesn't he talk about that? Why do you have to bring in the ephod for? Explains the Aris Davash beautifully. Yosef wasn't merely succumbing to base human lusts and desires. Chalila b'chas, Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef made a cheshbon, as Rashi brings in Parshas Vayishev, the Medrash Agadah. Same way Ishes Potiphar saw into the mausoleum, into the world of the zodiac, and its stagni note into astrology. She saw that she was destined to one day ultimately unite with Yosef. She didn't know that it was going to be through her daughter Asnas, Perkei Reloz, at the beginning of chapter 38. She thought it was going to be herself, so she allowed herself, she rationalized, I could bring myself upon Yosef Atzadik, because I know that one day Wataka is going to unite. And Yosef made a similar cheshbon. He knew from looking into the stars that he was destined to have some union with Potiphar's family. Writes of Yonah Sanayevshitz, Yaakovina was telling Yosef, you want to go after chalomos, you want to go after dreams,
We know we paskin, even though the Ramban, of course, the Nevuah of Yosef were bebechinas Nevuah. But lamaisa we paskin the whole sugya in the night parak of brachos Nevuah. I'm raised to be chalomas lomalin v'lo meridin. Ein achrami a chalomas echad mishishim b'nevuah. Writes the Marsha Chedusha Agudas Sefarot the Maratzlius and Saita the Peyim and Aleph. Ein achrami it's echad mishishim keilu to highlight that it's not bottle b'shishim. It has some mitzias. It has some credibility. There might be something to it, but don't live your life in accordance with dreams. Don't follow the world of fantasy, the world of that you conjured up your own imagery. Don't follow fantasies. Forget the Harry Potter Nourishkeit. Forget fantasy sports, a $4 billion industry. Forget the world of fantasy. Forget dreams. And forget visions. Forget astrology. Even though Ein Achanami, it might be a science. And Ein Achanami, it's a science. We paskin, you can believe in it. The Ordea, Tur, Shulchan Aruch, Ordea, some Kufayan test. Yes, the Tshuva, some Yechosas, to Ramban, and Simon Reish Pei Beis. It's a science. It's out there. But don't live your life in accordance with dreams, in accordance with fantasies. You're going to go after what you see in the stars. Then, Mamela, you don't need the Urim V'Tumim, Zot Yaakov Avinu. You're going to go after what? You're going to go after Chalaimus. After the way you read the stars, then you don't need the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim is the only thing that we had to know a direct connection with the Eibishter. When Hashem Kaviyocha spoke to us all your day, via the conduit of the Urim V'Tumim, then we knew with utmost certainty Kaviyocha was speaking directly to us. It was not indirect, no circuitous routes. It was a direct line. That was us in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yaakov says to Yosef, forget about Olam Haba right now. Forget about your Neshama right now. If you're going to go after the world of astrology and the world of dreams, then you know what? Then you don't belong in the Choshen Eifel. Then your name cannot be part and parcel of the Urim V'Tumim because you're distancing yourself away from that connection. That's why Yaakov gave him the perfect Musar. Stop running after fantasies and your own imagery. We'll close with a beautiful vart by Rav Yerucham Gerelik, Tam and Movaka, the Briskerov. We have a Gemara Brochas, Davir Amar Aleph. We cite the Pasuk from Chana, Shmuel Aleph, Parag Beis, Pasuk Beis, Ain't Sur, Kelokeno, there's no rock. It arshins the Gemara in first means Pasuk. Don't read it, Ain't Sur, Kelokeno, but rather Ain't Sayer, Kelokeno. There's no painter like the Ribbono Shel Olam. Listen to a Mayur Dikei Yisod by Rav Yerucham Gerelik. A painter, especially the world of impressionist art. When you look up close and you scrutinize the painting from a short distance, you see what? It's merely random scrubs of a brush, lines, dots here and there, and it makes no sense. It's chaos. But as you distance yourself from the painting and you take in the whole view, then all of a sudden the imagery comes into view and you say, oh, this is reality. Now it looks real. Impressionist artwork. Now it looks real. Kadosh Baruch Hu painted a world. And you look around at this world, Olam Hazeh, and you say, oh, this is reality, this is reality. Oh, you got to go out, you got to be a doctor, a lawyer, a professional. You got to make money, you got to live in this type of house, this type of car, you got to have a TV, and you got to watch movies, Nourishkeit, and Harry Potter, and we live in this fantasy world, and these are the highest grossing movies of all time, and everyone just wants to go with the fantasy, and the magic, and the occult, and all this imagery, and dreams, and movies made out of dreams. Everybody wants fantasy sports, it's all fantasy, it's all Nourishkeit. You know what? Oh, but that's fantasy. Oh, but Olam Hazeh, that's reality. Zotar Yuchamel, even Olam Hazeh is fantasy. Hashem painted this world. You know what? When you look from a distance, yes, it looks like it's real. You look around, yeah, it looks like we have a nice building and there are cars and houses and streets and roads. And you perceive this. But Muskarish, this is reality. But take a closer look. Even Olam Hazeh is all what? It's all random. It's all chaos. It makes no sense. Hanukkah, when we celebrate the Festival of Lights, that's when we have a fire up north. The greatest national disaster in Eretz Yisrael's history. Does that make any sense? It makes no sense. But Muskarish. But Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to look deeper into things, to scrutinize every daily event, every component, every aspect of our lifestyle. Stop looking from a distance. Only on your day, the Torah, the Bechina of the Urim V'Tumim that we have today, the Bechina of Hashem speaking to us. Stop looking from a distance. All your day, Torah Seinu HaKadosh, you can peer beyond the camouflage, beyond the veneers. Break away the facade and see the Pnimius HaDvarim. Yovan is Yud Vav Nun. The only three letters in the Alapes, they have no Pnim. There's no Pnimiyut. There's no space by a yod, a vav, and a nun. It's all what? It's all just straight letters. Menuchas chavtes and beis yod is olam habas machshava. Yovan is what? The mamshech the kavhalo. They bring ruchnias down to this world, but instead of dalet, grol, likute grol miksav yad yod is yod vav dalet. Take ruchnias, bring it down to this world, and now disseminate it, promulgate it into the dalet ruchas olam. Yovan instead of bemokum the dalet, yovan is yod vav nun. The only three letters that have no pnimiyut whatsoever. Yod, they take ruchnias, they bring it down to olam hasa, they bring it to the line, to this world of reality. reality. And they bury it. They're mashkia, toch the karka, toch artsiyas, schumriyas, and gashmiyas. They're not interested in the panim. Sokhtar of Yerucham Gorilla, Taman Muvak, and the Briskov look into the panimiyas advarim. Even Olam Hazi, you think this reality? This is not the reality. Reality is only living with the Torah, only living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the world of reality. So we think we're experts. There was a famous story about Mrs. Ruth Stein, a world-renowned philanthropist, and she went to the Louvre and she hired a personal guide, and the personal guide is taking around the Louvre, the famous museum in Paris, and she's walking around the Louvre and she says to her guide, "Oh, I know that painting. That's a Monet, right? Claude Monet." He says, "No, I'm sorry, ma'am, that's a Manet. It's not the Monet." "Okay, fine, I made one mistake." She goes walking through and she says, I know, that one's a Van Gogh, right? "That for sure is a..." "No, I'm sorry, ma'am, it's not a Van Gogh, but that one's a Monet." "Oh, but that one, I know that one's a Picasso." "No, that one's not a Picasso. That one's a Van Gogh." And they're going through the museum, and she's joining the guide and saying she knows God, and she's an Alma Aretz Gemura. And finally, she gets into a painting, and she says to the guide, "Oh, I may have made a lot of mistakes, but this one for sure is a Picasso." And he turns to her and says, "Ma'am, that's not a Picasso. You're looking in a mirror." We think we got it. We got it. We got it, America today, Thanksgiving Day parade. What are we celebrating? The hottest movies are what? Spider-Mans and Supermans and fantasy comic heroes. And Harry Potter's, people are making balloons. What are they holding, a pie? We got some Mishunadika guy called SpongeBob SquarePants. I have no idea who he is. This is who the Welt is celebrating. We're celebrating Spider-Mans and Supermans and Norishkeits of a Norishkeit. Adults playing video games. Somebody told me, my shul, that the hottest video game around is what? Is Farmville on Facebook, which of course nobody has because Facebook is not. You have to know what the heck there is to go on Facebook. The whole life. And somebody told me there's a machine that can give me. You have adults in the 30s, 40s, 60s, 70s, and they're spending actual money playing a game called Farmville. They're raising farms. They're buying sheep and selling mishugas. But this is reality. Fantasy, sports, this is reality. It's Norishkeit. You think this is reality? It's not about houses. It's not about cars. It's not about the fantasy world. It's not what about America celebrates. Look who we blow up, the figures that we hold on high. You know what it's about? It's about the world of reality. Olam Hazeh is not the world of reality. And we'll close with the following maisa. There was a year, Choshev Yom Gaman, who was putting out a Chidush Torah, or Baruch Ber Leibovitz, the Rosh Hashiva of Kamenetz Atzal. He's putting out Bircha Shmuel. A lot of people couldn't understand the four volumes of Bircha Shmuel and Masechta Shas. So he's putting out Shiurim, and we have a few volumes today of Shiuri or Baruch Ber and Shas. So one of the younger lights, one of the Avrochei Kolel, who was involved in publishing this tradition, they had heard that there was a Yid in Tel Aviv, a secular Jew in Tel Aviv, who had ksavim, because years ago he had learned by Rabbi Baruch Ber Zatzal in Kamenetz Yeshiva, the Magid Shir, the prominent Magid Shir of his day. And they went to Tel Aviv and he knocked on his door and he walked into the dining room and he saw that there were two pictures hanging on the wall. And he had a picture of his Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, Rabbi Baruch Ber Kamenetz. We know it was Mamash, Malach Hashem Tzavakas, the whole Sigim, Moed Katin, Yuzayim, Ralav, Chagiga, Tazayim, Rabbeis. This is Gomel, Malach Hashem Tzavakas, the biography of Rabbi Baruch Ber, Malach Hashem Tzavakas. He looked and he saw the Hadras Ponim. Wow, what a Zokin, what a Chacham. And right next to Rabbi Baruch Ber was a picture of Chaim Bialik, the secular Israeli poet. Apikaris. Many say he was an Apikaris. He wasn't Rabbi Baruch Ber. Lahavdal Alfei Shabbat Alfei Avdolos. And these two pictures are hanging on the wall. And this Yid can't hold himself back. And he says, "Now I understand if you were putting in a prominent position, or Baruch Ber, the Halig, Rosh Hashiva, Kamenetz Yeshiva, that's all. And he's the one on your wall and your dining room. Every time you eat, you're going to think of Baruch Ber. So if you want a Baruch Ber, take a Baruch Ber. If you want Chaim Bialik, take it." It brings echoes of Eliyahu's Musar, Melachim Aleph, and Perk Yuches, Emra Lokim Yelach Achrov. You want the God, you want the Baal. But Amos Hayat Tempoiskim Ashtayisif. You can't go out, you can't be wishy washy. None of this double dealing, double life. Take a pick right next to our Baruch Bears, that's all. Chaim Bialik, the secular Israeli poet. What's pshat? See, he looks to this young man and he says, looking at Bialik, and he says, "You see that Jew? Because of his influence, he took away my Olam Haba. He took away my Olam Haba. I gave up Yiddishkeit because of him." And he turns to Rabbi Baruch Ber and he says, "You see that picture of my former Rosh Hashiva, that's all. I keep that picture on the wall to remind me that he's the one who took away my Olam Haza. I thought if I go after Bialik, at least the Kol HaPochus, I'll be like an Esav. I'll enjoy this world. This geschmack world, all the mass of cars, of fantasy sports, of Harry Potters, of the Jets, 9-2, Mach Badlan. Who cares about the Norskai Jets? And who cares about what's going on in the Olam HaGashmi? At least I'll have Olam Haza. Rav Baruch Ber taught me that even Olam Haza is not Olam Haza. I can't enjoy it anymore. After you learn by Rav Baruch Ber, you can't possibly enjoy Olam Haza. What's Olam Haza? He told you Olam Haza is gorgeous. It's Nourishkeit. It's fools. It's false and foolishness. That's Olam Haza. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the master painter, Kaviyachol. He painted a beautiful world. Oh, this is reality. But stop standing from a distance. Ayadei the Torah, and only Ayadei the Torah. Peer a little closer. Scrutinize it with every ounce of Yakayach of your Amelis and Yigiyan Torah. The Ebershter is speaking to us always, and he's telling us reality. What is reality? Reality is the Torah, and that's it. Torah is reality. It's Koveya reality. Vizil. We got our Shchodesh back, and Eged Yovan, Achodesh Zelachem. We're Koveya. The Hashem, you're beginning to Ksubas and our base. With the Shach and Yordea, we're Koveya. We change the Metzias. Ayadei, our Shlita, our supremacy and control over the Kviyas HaChodesh, the Kviyas HaSaman, the Saman. Reality is in our hands. We determine when things are going to be. That's the Koach HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowered inside each and every one of us. That's the Shlit that we have. We're Lamaylam and HaZaman, we're Lamaylam and HaTeva. Chanukah is, it's only 7 days of miracles, but celebrate it like it's eight, because even the Olam HaTeva is all miraculous. Even what we perceive as, oh, the Olam HaTeva, it seems to be reality, it's not reality. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's all Lamaylam and HaTeva. If you see it in the right fashion, through the right lens, from the right perspective, and the only way we can do it is through the Torah. So that's the lesson for today. We might not remember Thanksgiving Day parades, we might not remember all the marmakaimus about 7 and 8, and it's not such a big deal. We have to remember, though, it's like somebody wrote into Mishpacha magazine when somebody was writing an article about Torah and said, you know, Torah is the most important thing in the world. And a younger man from Lakewood wrote in and he says, that's a mistake. Torah is not the most important thing in the world. Torah is the only thing in the world. It's not the most important thing, it's everything. And if you love it and you recognize this is Kaveh Ar Metzias, this is everything, this is life, forget Olam Hazah, it's all Nourishkeit, it's all Gornish, it's all about Olam Haba, it's all about Machshav, it's all about getting back Torah Shabbat Peh, it's all about the Torah, then how could you sit back and say, I don't want to share it with the world? If you taste it and you see the Etzem reality, then don't you have an Achrayus to say, if I tasted the Geshmak, the Arabis, the Masikas HaTorah, and I know what it is, and I see the world through the proper lens, then don't you have the Achrayus, as we all do, share it with the world when the time comes to have the Achrayus, as an Eshet Torah teaches, go out and teach it with the world, and do kiruv and share it, and let all the people privy to seeing the world in Olam Hazeh through the right lens. Let them see the geshmak of what Torah Seinu HaKadosh is all about. Let's go ahead and constantly be defeating Yavan. It's misyavnim. End the marriage assimilation. It's so rampant. The way to combat it is teach people the emes, the pnimiyas advarim, and the only way to do that is ayadei the chokmas at Torah, the havdil keneged chokmas Yavan. Go out, sit, shteig, chazer like a man, and make yourself dirty and sweaty and shvit. And Chazar, make yourself like a Chazar. And Chazar 40, 50, 101 times. And know the Torah. And when you feel like you're getting a handle on the Torah, go out and share it with the world. Give them the Geshmak. Give them the light of Torah Shavah Peh. Give them the light, the Or HaMetzias, the Or HaMiti. Give them the Geshmak of what Esha Torah is all about. Chanukah is celebrating Esh, Gematria 301, Menorah Gematria 301. This is the Yontif of Esh. If you taste it, then you live the sweetness. The Esh Kenesinas, like Tosis writes in Sukkot Chavchas and Aleph, Torah Mchal and Derech Hashem, Rosh HaMakvitz and Shosh Yishai, and Megillus Rush, Or Gedayo and Shavuos. If you're zeichet to learn Torah Kenesinasa, you bring down the Eish like Yonah and Ezeel, like Lozer and Yeshua. If you want to touch into the Eish of Torah, then learn Torah with a Geshmak, but don't savor it for the rest of your life without sharing the sweetness, the Masikas Advarim. Lick that Torah off your fingers and share the Masuka Midvash and Avasufim with the rest of the world. Go out and teach it to others. Share with others and let's have the most Geshmak, the most sweet, the most tasty Chanukah ever. Let's enjoy the Eisha Torah. Let's enjoy Yeshiva's Eisha Torah. Thank you so much for coming this afternoon. It's always a pleasure to come back. Wish you Brach and Atzlocha and unbelievable Siyata Deshmai to keep steiging and to chazering and to loving the Torah and of course to sharing it with the ganze Welt. We should be Zeicha to that Siyata Deshmai, and by next Chanukah we'll be celebrating with the Eish HaMizbech, the Eish HaMenorah HaMiti, and the Mokum HaMiti, and the Beis HaMikdash, where we'll see things with the almost sense of reality, a Freilich HaChanukah, Luchtig HaChanukah, and a lot of Geshmak and Arabis Masikas HaTorah.